our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. And praise ye the Lord, for he is good. And give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not, from age to age the same. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290.
Mm-hmm. Congregation, the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the first epistle of Paul, the Apostle to the Corinthians, and are of the first chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenus our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together, in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it had been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in mine own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, had God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord of the heavens and of the earth, who permittest us to gather once again in this afternoon hour in thy house of prayer. And then, as we have just heard, not with the wisdom of words, lest we should make the cross of Christ of none effect. O Lord, that thou thyself may receive honor and glory in thy house of prayer, then it is necessary that thou dost fill us, O Lord, with thy Holy Spirit. And then it is necessary that it be not only amen to bring forth thy word, but that thy Spirit may fill us with matter and with words within our heart. For who can show forth all thy praise, O Lord, then it is possible that there are those that have said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Also in this morning hour and in this afternoon hour, that thy holy day that is to the joy and the rejoicing of their hearts, O Lord, then we cannot give unto them anything. But thou alone art able to fulfill the desires that thou dost plant in the heart. Oh, then it could be that they do say, as we have sung together, let me behold thy people's good, and in their joy rejoice. O Lord, that they do beseech thee in this afternoon hour, to fill them with that good that thou showest unto all thy people. Oh, that that desire also in this afternoon hour and may be fulfilled by thee, Lord, who are only able to do it. And thou knowest that we do not deserve it, not young or old, for we are all cut of that same cloth. Oh, we all know one another so very well, for we have not to look upon one another except to look in our own heart. O Lord, then thou sayest they are all gone aside, and they are together become unprofitable. O, then we know each one the heart of our neighbor, for they are all the same as that heart that is living within us. Oh, then we come together in all our guilt, Lord, and in all our filthiness, in all our pollution, and in all our corruption, with no worthiness that Thou shouldest look upon us in this afternoon hour. And we can only plead with Thee upon the merits of Thy only begotten Son. Oh, could it please Thee to look upon Him and to look at it through Him also unto us in this afternoon hour. Oh, there shall be a seed that shall serve Him. Oh, for His sake Thou art able to do it, because Thou hast promised unto Him a seed. Oh, Lord, that it would please Thee then to give in this afternoon new life. That may turn away from all that which is vain and carnal in this world, all that is fleshly, and that may desire, that may hunger, and that may thirst after Thee, the true and the living God. Oh, who can put it in our own heart, Lord? Not for the first time and not by renewal, but when Thy Spirit would come once again, and when Thou wouldst return and visit Thy vine, then there shall be a reviving. Thou hast done it in the years that have gone by. Oh, Thou hast done it in the days of old, as we can read it also of our forefathers. But Lord, we need it also, each one of us, in our own heart, in our own day, we and our dear children. Oh, to experience something of that power, and that Thou art still alive, and that Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, that we may be given so to believe Thy word in this afternoon, and when it would come with power in the heart of each and every one of us. And Lord, then we shall believe as Thou dost say we ought in Thy holy word. And then we shall believe that we have to die and to meet Thee. We shall believe that we were created good and upright, and that we ourselves have departed away from Thee. Oh, what a cry shall come to Thee from the bottom of our wretched and miserable hearts when it is coming forth by Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And there is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. Oh, there is so much then to be received from Thee. Out of Thy holy word of truth we ask Thee, Lord, for a little opening therein in this afternoon hour. Oh, that we may be given new sights, and that we may be enabled to bring forth new and old things out of Thy law. And that Thy Spirit may open that word that is so often closed unto us, unto each and every one of Thy children also. That Thou would open it for the first time or by renewal. That there may be those who say that they have never seen before what they have seen in this Thy holy day. For that is the work of Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, that Thou wouldst raise from the dead those that still lie under that power of that prince of darkness. That is a power greater than our power to break. And then it is not a father, it is not a mother. Or it is not a son or a daughter, a brother, a sister, a husband or a wife. Now with all the love of our hearts that is able to break the bonds wherewith that we are bound in that spiritual death. But Thou, O Lord, art able to break them. Oh, Thou art able to free us from the grave. Oh, we beseech Thee then that Thou wouldst remember young and old and leave not a hoof behind upon that short journey that we are traveling to eternity. Oh, that we may be given to be set upon that race where we have heard of also in the week that is gone by. Oh, that we may be given to know also our great responsibility to lay aside every weight and that sin that doth so easily beset us. And that we may look to that race that is before us. Lord, our time that is so short, some have stood by an open grave in the week that is gone by. Oh, thou hast given a long life according to men in this world, and yet it is but a moment, it is but a vapor that comes and disappears. Supply thou then for all those that mourn, and thou thyself may comfort as man is not able to do. Lord, that thou may supply for all the afflicted and the sick, him also that must go to the hospital in this week. We lay him before thee once again in this afternoon hour. Oh, that thou may look upon him, Lord, from above. For thou knowest all the fears of his heart. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember and bless this means for his body. Oh, could it please thee to bring him through? Oh, could it please thee to give him to experience in this week? And that the Lord, he lives. Oh, that his soul may be so broken, and that it may be so drawn by thee, and that it may be even to the welfare of his never-dying soul. Remember him, his wife, his family together, and all those that have need of thee in special ways, that are young, that are old. Oh, that thou may remember each one in all the afflictions that we do experience in this world. May they be sanctified, Lord. May they be for our edification and not for the hardening of our hearts upon our journey to meet thee. That thou may look upon all the children, the young people. Oh, do give that new birth in the days of their youth, that they may remember their Creator, that they may flee from the ways of sin. For, Lord, we cannot keep them anymore. Oh, the devil, he breaks down all the fences and the temptations. They are coming so close unto our children. And those temptations, they are so near to the hearts of each and every one of us. Our time that is so short, and Satan, oh, he lays before us so many of the goods that are in this world. And thou sayest, love not the world, and neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But thou knowest the love of the world, and that is living within the heart of each and every one of us and of our dear children. Oh, there is one, only one, and that is able to keep them from that love of the world. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, and that thou may remember each one of them in the days of their youth, our young people, and wherever they do labor in the midst of this world, or when they do attend colleges or universities, thou knowest also their places. Oh, that thou may keep watch over and protect them. Be with those who hope to meet in this week as a confession class for the first time. And thou hast given it in their hearts that they desire to be joined by their own confession to thy church, O Lord. And that thou may give to us a good season together as we gather from week to week around thy holy word of truth and the doctrines which are stated therein. Oh, that it may be more than just an outward learning, that thou may give to us a little season, wherein thy Spirit gives also a little opening, and that it may be good to be together. Lord, that thou may look upon us as a consistory also when we will meet in the week that is to come. Oh, that thou would be on our right and on our left hand. Give to us wisdom that we lack. Give to us strength that we lack. O Lord, that thou may be on our right and on our left in everything, and give guidance in every decision that must be made for the welfare of thy church. And wilt thou look upon thy church over the length and breadth of this whole world? Oh, do give an increase in the numbers. Give an increase also in the instruction, that there may be those that are taught by thee, and that there may be a spreading forth of thy holy word, a scattering, and that there may also be a great increasing. And when we do call as nations thy judgments from the heavens, oh, we beseech thee yet to look upon us in thy mercy, and that thou wouldst turn us again. It seems so impossible, for we go from bad to worse. O Lord, we ask of thee that thou may arise. O Lord, that thou may show thyself, and could it please thee to put a stop to all that wickedness wherein we are living out what lives within our own hearts, and that we would not be permitted to call destruction upon ourselves from thee, but that thou wouldest look upon us with our children in thy mercy. Help us in this afternoon. Help us to speak, Lord. Thou knowest who and what we are and what we stand in need of. When thou wilt shut, who can open? But, Lord, when thou wilt open, who can shut? Oh, then we may be around thy word of truth, as we have received it also from our forefathers. And thou knowest that which we are called to speak of in this afternoon hour. Oh, could it please thee that that preciousness of thy blessed name may be felt, may be experienced by each and every one of this in this place. Oh, that we may go from here with a holy awe in our soul. Oh, could it be that we are wrought upon by thee in the speaking and in the listening together. Cast out the buyers and the sellers, and give us good attention, not only of our mind, but of our whole heart. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing the song of Simeon. The song of Simeon, all the stanzas. Lord, in thy temple we appear, as happy Simeon came, and hope to meet our Savior here. Oh, make our joys the same. And what follows in all six stanzas of the Song of Simeon. congregation, we ask your attention for this afternoon hour for Lord's Day 6, the questions 18 and 19. Lord's Day 6, questions 18 and 19. Who then is that mediator? Who is in one person both very God and real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the Holy Gospel, in which God himself first revealed in paradise, and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. So far our Lord's Day, which speaks about the revelation of the mediator, which we wish to consider in these two thoughts according to our questions. First, the substance of this revelation, and second, the author of this revelation, as is in question 18 and 19. The revelation of the mediator, first the substance, and the author of this revelation. What is that? A revelation. We have spoken about it in the past, children, a revelation that is an uncovering. That is, that we may see something that we did not see before. Did the Lord ever show you something that you did not see before? Because we cannot see how great our sins and miseries are if the Lord does not reveal them unto us. You say, are they written in the Word of God? And that is so true. But if the Lord does not reveal it to us, each one, then we cannot see them. We know that with our mind, but it has no effect on our life. Doesn't make us fearful, doesn't make us sad, because it is only in our intellect, and it has never been opened unto us. And that is the same now also with God's true church, and that Christ, he is revealed in that holy word, but they cannot see him, because their eyes are closed to him, until that time that the Lord is opening their eyes and that the Lord is revealing himself unto them. Did the Lord ever reveal his only begotten Son in your life? That is our question for this afternoon hour. The Apostle Paul, he said that he was not taught it. He didn't learn it from men. He says, but it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And for him, that was in a special way. And for us, we are taught it, of course, in the catechism, in the school, in the home, in the preaching, we are taught it. But it remains always the same, that we need to learn it in the same way that the Apostle Paul learned it. That is, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when that covering is going off of him, and then our eyes, they will see a congregation what we have never seen before in our life. And then we will see a blessed relationship also. How was it for the brothers of Joseph when Joseph, he said, I am Joseph? Then it was in that moment that they saw him. And it was in that moment that they recognized him. But it was also in that moment that they began to see, to feel something of a relation. A relation between themselves and that great viceroy in Egypt. And so that is. So that is in the revelation of the only begotten Son of God. And it is not only an intellectual matter. No, that becomes a personal matter. Who then is that mediator? Is that your question too? Who then is that mediator? That can be for us an intellectual question. But are there those here for whom that is now a very personal question? Who then is that mediator? A question that has arisen in your own soul, where you have cried unto the Lord for an answer to that question. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Where does that answer come from? That comes from the Bible, because that is where our fathers, what they are explaining in that entire Heidelberg Catechism, that is the Bible. And it is Paul, we heard it, he is speaking to the Corinthians, and he speaks to them about whom? He speaks to them about Christ, and about the cross of Christ. And how was that for those people? Paul, he says that this name and the preaching of his name, that is despised. He says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the foolishness of preaching. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Thus, congregation, how is it for us? He is for the Jews a stumbling block. They stumbled over that name, despising that name, and for the Greeks he was foolishness. Well, they loved the wisdom, as we heard, of this world. How is it now? Between the Lord and our soul, children, the name of the Lord Jesus, what shall we say, young people? Fathers, mothers, older ones, grandfathers, grandmothers, how is it? Long time we have heard that name. Many years we make a profession of that name. We say that we belong to the NRC. We say that we are a Calvinistic. We say that we are Reformed. But now that name, is that name still to us a stumbling block? Is that name still to us foolishness? We read here, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. How different. It is just the opposite. Thus there is a people for whom he is far from a stumbling block. There is a people for whom he is far from foolishness. Who are those people we read? They are those who are called. They are called by the Spirit of the Lord. They are, he says, both Jews and Greeks, that they are those that are among all those who consider him to be a stumbling block or to consider him or consider him to be foolishness. Where are they? We don't know where you are. We do not know you so well. Or where are they? Maybe who have said nothing yet to anyone. To father, to mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, son, daughter. But who has seen something. Something of preciousness in that name of that mediator. Where does that come from? Because that church of God that is so full of spiritual pride. But we read here that the apostle, even with those spiritual gifts, he would have no man to glory in his presence. And therefore he speaks about the cause. He says that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Then he says unto God's church, he says, that does not come of you, because there is no man that would seek after the Lord Jesus Christ. No, for every man in this world, then he remains a stumbling block, and he remains foolishness until the Lord himself makes it different in our life. How is that? That is in the revelation of himself. Of him we read, are ye in Christ Jesus? Thus he talks about a relation. He speaks about a union. He does not speak of the Lord Jesus just in an objective way, that we can write it all down on a piece of paper. Congregation, there are two questions. If we would come for house visitation now, the elders, they will come if the Lord gives it in the coming season for house visitation. And then it is possible they ask two questions. They sound very similar, but they are very different. And the one is, who is Christ? What do you think, children? Do you think you will be able to answer if they will ask you? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What would you say? We will let you think about it. But now I have another question. What if they would say, who is the Lord Jesus Christ for you? Who is he unto you? Does that answer the same? Then maybe there is silence. Then maybe we have no answer, but that is actually now the question. That they will go forward in the midst of the congregations really to ask. And that is not just for the older ones, but that is also for the younger ones. Because also the younger ones can die. And when there is no union with that blessed mediator that our fathers are here speaking about, then we have no part of that kingdom of God. And what did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? Peter says, thou shalt never wash my feet. Christ says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and ye drink his blood, except there be a union, except that it be a personal matter between you and myself, then there is no life in you, then there is no entrance into that kingdom of God. And thus we say that most all important question, Oh, may we go away from this place with this question also in our own thoughts and in our own heart, that we would say, oh Lord, how is it with my soul? I have no part with Thee because there is no relation, because I know it in my mind, but I do not have Thee as my own Savior, as my own Redeemer in my own heart. We must have Him. It must be in the first place that we must be in Him as a representative. That is, we must be in Him in that union, and that God Himself, that He views us in Him. That just as we are represented in that covenant of works in Adam, so that we need to be represented in that new covenant by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because if He is not our representative before the Father, then Adam remains our representative. It is either the one or it is the other. It cannot be both. But not only do we need to be in Him as a representative, but we also need to be in Him in reality. That is, we need to be in Him, we need to be united in Him in that new birth. That is, in a vital way, in a real way, in a true way, that we need to be born again, that we need to be taken out of that state of wrath, and that we need to be placed in that state of grace, that is to be in union with that Son of God, that mediator between God and man. He says, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. We need also to be in Him in an experimental way, that the need of Him may be in our heart. We need to know Him in the need for Him. And we need to know Him also in the sight of Him by faith. And we need to know something of Him in the casting of all our soul upon Him by a true and a living faith. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. You say, how do I know if I am in Him? Well, that is by the fruits. The Lord Jesus, He says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Those fruits, they are flowing out of what? Those fruits, they are flowing out of that union. And Paul speaks about that union. And now our fathers in this blessed Lord's Day, wherein we hear for the first time of the name of that blessed mediator, where we hear of that mediator being revealed in the life of a person. For the first time, then our fathers, they are speaking about, they are quoting the Apostle Paul, who is speaking about how what is then experienced. What is that? It says, if you are in Him, Paul says, then He will be made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. How different. Say, maybe today I see no form. I see no comeliness. I have no need. Stumbling block. Foolishness. And now so different. Then He is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Joseph's brethren, they were struck when that covering was taken off. And when that Joseph, he revealed himself to them, oh, then they were struck in the first place. They were very afraid. We read they were troubled at His presence. That is understandable because of their sin. But we read that Joseph, he spake kindly unto them. Congregation, is that not a wonder? Those men, they were standing as condemned men. And suddenly, in the revelation of himself, this great viceroy, when they expected nothing but a condemnation out of his mouth, then he is speaking kindly unto them. And when he is speaking kindly unto them, and when he is showing himself who that he is, then they can only have the very smallest conception in those moments of what it is to have a relation to that great viceroy that was in Egypt. Suddenly everything changes before their eyes. The character of that viceroy. Never have they seen him in such a way as they have seen him in that moment. When Bunyan's pilgrim, he has come from Sinai and he comes into that wicked gate. That is a picture of what our fathers are trying to express here in this Lord's Day. Then in the experience of a Bunyan, he says, that pilgrim, he says, I rejoice and tremble. He trembles. He trembles why? He trembles because he is not yet in that burden that is still remaining upon his back. And yet he says that he rejoices. Thus, in the revelation of that blessed mediator, though there is not the assurance that is given in the heart of a person, yet there is such a rejoicing. There is a rejoicing at the sight that they do see because they see is something of favor. That is not a favor that they have just seen. No, when he was at Sinai, that he was crying out, woe is me. And so it was with those brothers of Joseph, then it was woe unto us. Because of the anger of that viceroy, because of my own sin. And now suddenly there is this kindness. And that is not a kindness that is just in their thoughts. No, that is a kindness that they are experiencing from that viceroy himself. And then to such a one even as I am. And so the Apostle Paul, he says, well, what do that people see in him? And if the Lord will open our eyes that we will be given to see him for a moment, then what will we see, congregation, in that moment? Well, the apostle said, he is made unto us wisdom. What is wisdom? That is just the opposite of foolishness and certainly no longer a stumbling block. Oh, how different it becomes. You say, I cannot see him. No form, no comeliness. There is more. There is a despising of him. When we are honest, we have no desire. But congregation, it can become so different. Oh, the Lord is able to make it so different in our life. Also for you, boys and girls, you must ask for this. For that is a very blessed thing when we do see him with eyes that do despise him, when we call him in our hearts foolishness. Oh, those people, maybe you say they are just a distracted people. We have the wisdom of this world. We believe what we can see. We believe what is tangible. We believe what we can feel with our hands. What we know is the truth. But he is becoming unto them wisdom. Oh, what do they see? Oh, they see in him the wisdom of God. They see in him the personification of God. Oh, that he is God manifest in the flesh. Oh, they see the wisdom of God in him. And they see all the treasures of wisdom in him. It is indeed through him that they are becoming wise unto salvation. Oh, what do they see in him? Well, where were they? They were standing. Oh, they were bowing. They were laying there at Sinai. Oh, that was under the curse of that law. But suddenly in the revelation of that blessed mediator, oh, then they see a way. What does he say? I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That the Lord is opening unto that people something. How that he is now the way, wherein it is possible that they are returning again into that blessed communion and that favor of the Lord. Oh, what a wisdom! The wisdom of God when they did not know, when there was no way for them anymore because of the weakness of the flesh, because of the demands of the law, and that the Lord is opening something, oh, the smallest part in the revelation of himself, that they are saying, oh, the depths both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways, they are past finding out. Oh, then their soul, and they can only perceive the smallest part of what it would mean to be related, to be united unto that blessed mediator because of that favor, the favor of the Father unto that mediator. Oh, and then there is a desire, a longing in the heart. No, then they cannot go and say, now I am one of God's children and I have the assurance and it is all well with me. No, congregation. No, but that revelation of that blessed mediator. Oh, that is to a man who cannot see a way. Can you not see a way? Or is that way cut off in your life? Then the Lord is revealing a wisdom. He is revealing his son as the wisdom. And then that people, oh, they are longing. Oh, they see it as the way. They cannot believe that they have never seen it as the way before because maybe they are 80 years old and maybe they have heard it their whole life long. But the first time in their life, oh, for their eyes to go open. And that way, that is not now for my neighbor alone, but the way also for myself, that I may have come into that blessed communion of the Lord. Truly, congregation, truly they rejoice and they tremble. Oh, they rejoice at one sight of him. Why? That there is yet a way. Oh, that there is still possible that I do not have to be shut into that outer darkness forever and forever. But why do that people tremble? Because they are not in there yet. No, that is the first time that blessed mediator, he becomes precious to their soul. Oh, they have desired God, the Lord himself, from that day of that first new birth. Oh, then they have longed for the house of the Lord, for the day of the Lord. Oh, but the beauty in his son, the beauty in that mediator, oh, the eyes, they are so closed for it. But when the Lord is then opening their eyes, oh, then they see in him the wisdom of God. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Oh, when? Just when that righteousness has been cut off. Just when they have been at Sinai. Just when they have said that there is no way anymore because God, he will have his justice satisfied. Just when they thought that it would never be possible anymore because I have sinned against a holy, a righteous, and a good-doing God. And now the Lord is opening. Do you ask for this? The Lord is opening a righteousness in His only begotten Son. Oh, the Lord is opening their eyes, and that their eyes are looking away from themselves. Oh, the Lord gives that eye of faith to behold something of that righteousness in His only begotten Son. Then they may see something of how that righteousness is a righteousness that is accepted by the Father. Then they may see a little bit how that righteousness has satisfied that Father, and that He has given rest unto that law of God. Oh, how much do they see? They see only this much. Or they see only a little bit. They have only maybe just a little ray of light in that very dark prison wherein they are. And yet their soul is rejoicing in it. How can their soul rejoice even with such a little bit of light? Oh, Paul says, he says that we see through a glass darkly. But even when they see through that glass darkly concerning that obedience of that Son of God, yet they behold a fullness that they experience within their own heart, that the Lord says, there it is. There is the solution, because there is a fullness in His obedience, which has been so to the satisfaction of that justice of the Father, that same justice that condemns me and that casts me out, wherewith I will be forever and forever cast out of the blessed presence of God, because I cannot fulfill that justice. But they may see something of that fullness, and how that church, oh, that is delivered from that curse of the law. Oh, one ray congregation of that light. One ray of light into that blessed name of Jesus Christ in your life. I tell you, you will never forget it. Not for the rest of your life. You will say, there and there I was in the house of the Lord. You will say, I was by my bed upon my knees. I had my Bible in my hands. It became so impossible for me. And then the Lord opened it for me. Oh, the Lord showed me something that I had never seen in His blessed Son. Oh, they may hear something in it. Do you know what they hear in it? Oh, they hear in it a voice. They hear in it a voice that says, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. It is that people in that moment, congregation, they feel it. They feel that the Lord, He is inviting them unto Himself, even to come unto Him just as they are. Oh, they perceive for the first time in their life, oh, that blessed work of that mediator, that He has come into this world, that is to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, that He has come into this world to die for whom? For the ungodly. Oh, that is the first time they may see a connection. That is the first time they will say, how can that be? Is that really so? That He has come into this world that He may in order to save such a man as I am, that it would be possible that even one as I am able to be saved in that moment. No, we don't talk about assurance. That is something else. But that is the people that are included. If it is just for one moment in their life, if I would say, people of the Lord, what was that one moment in your life that the Lord included you for a moment? You will say, it was in the 10th hour. You will say it was in that day that I thought it was all gone. It was forever lost when the Lord opened unto me His only begotten Son. And then I saw something of the blessed suitability for a wretched and an undone creature. And because of that suitability, oh, for a moment, then I felt something of that inclusion. Oh, then the heart that is sinking away under what? In a possibility, not in an assurance, no. It is sinking away just in a possibility because it had become impossible and such a wonder now. And when the Lord opens a little bit of that mediator and he becomes to them wisdom and he becomes to them righteousness, then I have not to bring my righteousness anymore. No, then that impossibility from my side. Also, then I lose the requirement from my side. Because the Lord, He has required it of His Son. And He has received it of His Son. Oh, a sight congregation. And that will make a man to skip and to leap. To make the hope born in the heart of a hopeless man. And that he will go out into the fields and desire to sing with all the birds that are in the sky. Oh, then he cannot honor and glorify the Lord of heaven and earth sufficiently enough that there is made a way possible for a man such as I, that I still can go to church and that I still can be saved. Let us sing. 318, 1, 3, 5, and 7. The glorious gates of righteousness throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. And I will enter them with praise, O Lord my God, to thee. 1, 3, 5, and 7 of Psalter 318. our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What is that sanctification? That is holiness. How is it with your holiness? How is that, young people? Parents, how is it with our holiness? What does the Lord say? He says, be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Have we a desire even to live a holy life, or do we just want to be justified, that we want that we are right with the law, that we are not cast into prison? We want to be justified, freed from that prison, but we do have no desire for a holy life, because God Himself is holy. Sanctification. What do we read of Israel? They said, what is our iniquity and what is our sin that we have transgressed before the Lord? Do you think that is the question of God's people? It is just the opposite. Then they say and they see and they feel from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And they do not see how that it is possible, that is even with justification, how that a person, because of the corruption — we do not bring an animal in our house, children. Say that animal has not sinned, but he is filthy. Does not come in our house. The cows and the pigs, they belong in the barn. And how is it that God's children, the Spirit shows to them what they are, and they say, how now can that be, that such a person could ever enter, because of the filth and the pollution that is living within my own heart? But what does Paul say? He says the same. He says that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And he says, finally, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body of sin, this body of death, who will deliver me from it? Oh, do you have by times a desire to be delivered from the body of sin and death? And then what does Paul say? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Congregation, he had rest. He had rest. He remained in himself a wretched and a sinful creature, loathing himself, and yet had rest. How is that possible? That is only possible when the Lord opens the eyes of a person, that they may see something of Him as their sanctification, not only their righteousness, but also their sanctification, so that though they carry with them the rest of their life this body of sin and death, and though they are grieved because they cannot rid themselves of that sin, yet that they may rest in that sanctification and in the receiving of that sanctification by the Father, and they may look for and they may long for that day when this vile body that shall be changed like unto His most glorious body. That day when this body will be sown in corruption, and it will be raised in incorruption, made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. What is redemption? Oh, that is to purchase back just like a slave. He comes out of the bondage, and he may be restored again to his family, into freedom, that he may be reunited to those whom he loves. Redemption. Oh, what is now that soul see? If the Lord is opening something of that only begotten Son of God to reveal him unto your soul, then you will see that it is through him and through him alone. Who is that mediator? It is the mediator between God and a sinner. Oh, he is the way that my soul may return again. If we never had a desire, it goes back to the beginning in your life. If we have never had a desire in our life to be reunited into that favor of our Maker and our Creator, do we know that desire? If we have never had such a desire, it is impossible that Christ would ever be rightly viewed by us with that joy that the Apostle Paul is speaking about here. Because who is Christ? He is not just a name for our lips. No, he is not just for the hypocrisy of man in a show of religion in this world. No, but he is the solution for that people to that greatest problem in their life. And what is that greatest problem in their life? We say that in a simple way, children. That is, I am outside and I am apart from God. Oh, ask the Lord to show you how wretched and how miserable, how great your sins and your miseries are. Oh, say, Lord, show me myself. And say, Lord, show me thyself. Then you will see a sight that is not like all those beautiful mountains you can see here. And not like all the beautiful sights that you can see in this world. Oh, it is a sight above all that can be seen in the creation of the Lord. It is a sight of his redemption. It is that sight for which God's children, they shall rejoice forever and forever. But we have to finish. What are our fathers then saying? They say, whence knowest thou this? From the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. I thought, what a remarkable thing. What a remarkable thing. That this question and this answer that is placed immediately following the one that we have just considered. And why? Because we have said over and over that our fathers, they do show to us the way that the Lord, he is leading his own children. And now you ask, do you ever ask that, young people? Ask now once, God's children. Or if a man would say, if he would say, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. And he would have the freedom once to say something of how that the Lord has opened to him in his great need, How that he can say this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. How that the Lord has given him a little sight, a little ray of light in that great blackness, in that darkness. Oh, how the Lord has opened free and sovereign grace, that new and that living way, that new covenant over against that old covenant, that only mediator, that one name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Asked them, or if they would have a little opportunity, if they would have a little freedom to tell something. And then you would say, well, how do you know that? How did you? They will not say, well, I was in a dream. I was in a vision. They did not pull that out of the air, no. But they will bring you to the Word of God, and they will say, here it is written. Here, I will show you. And not only that, but maybe they will say also this. And they will say, and look here. And look here. And look here. And look here. Why, congregation? Because this book that can be so closed, is it not so closed? Is it closed to you? Oh, that book can be so closed. But there are times for that people that book that goes so open from the beginning of this Bible to the end of that Bible, so that every time that they turn a page in that Bible, then they do see the revelation of the Lord in His only begotten Son for a hell-worthy creature. That the Lord shows to them that it is not only once, no, but this is even from the beginning. Sometimes they look at the church of God. They see a people, they are laboring in that workhouse, and they cannot understand how that those eyes, they are so closed, because they say it is written on every page of the Bible. And the Lord, He can give so much opening sometimes that they cannot believe that they are reading that same Bible that they have been reading ever since they were young. But our fathers, they say here the same. They say that gospel, that does not start in the New Testament. That you say the Old Testament is the law, the New Testament is the Bible, it is the gospel, no. No, they say it began already. Genesis 3, as soon as it became necessary, as soon as sin had come into this world, and that gospel and that message of redemption has become necessary for that elect people, then already it was declared unto our fathers. So that already from paradise, and then slowly, step by step, that the Lord, not just gradually, young people, that gradually, no, it's not just gradual, but it is step by step, because every time the Lord is cutting a man off and the Lord is showing a man something again. But so we can read it even in the history of the whole world, that step by step, the Lord is revealing more and more of His only begotten Son, and now that is revealed in that holy Word of God. And preserved for who? For us. Is there not something preserved by the Lord? How many of the things in this world, they have been lost? Fires, floods, and so on. And the Word of the Lord, from the very beginning, even to the last day, that is being preserved by the Lord. For what purpose? For the bringing in of His church. All that is a word that is showing unto us the height of our creation. We would not know that from our creation. We cannot see that. The height of our creation, declaring unto us the image of God in which we were created, and the depth of our fall. Oh, we see the results of it in the creation. The misery, the sorrow, the wretchedness. So many, without the Word, they say, where does it all come from? But you know where it comes from, young people, because the Lord has given to you that holy Word of God. And now especially not only the height of our creation and the depth of our fall, but that name. Oh, that blessed name. That name outside of which we cannot be saved. Oh, congregation. What does that name mean to us? Who is Christ? Who is that mediator? Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, say. Who is He now for you? Stumbling block. Foolishness. Say, what an awful thought, is it not? Foolishness. You would not dare say that out of your mouth, would you? That He is foolishness. No, we would never dare say it. And we hope no one would ever dare say it. But that is what is in our heart. That is the way we live. That is the way we maybe lived last week. And will it now be also the way that we are going to live in this coming week? It has to become different. It has to. Between the cradle and the grave, we're going to meet Him. He is going to be our judge. And it can become different. Do you believe that? Oh, it can become different. It has become different. Even for a Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor and injurious, but he received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it has become different for a great multitude. A great multitude who were born into this world the same as you and I. But today, He is for that people wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. O congregation, may we have no rest, no rest, until He also becomes so unto us. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, oh, what shall that be if we have to stand before Thee, and if truly deep down in our hearts Thou art foolishness unto us? Oh, how great shall our judgment be, how we shall be sent away in shame and in great fear in that day. O Lord, look upon us. We go to our homes. There is no one that can change his own heart. That is Thy work, Lord. Give us each one to go in our own secret chamber and to seek it where it can be found, where Thou dost say it can be found, because Thou dost say, ask and it shall be given Thee. Seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And wilt Thou keep us in this week from sin and evil, danger and harm? Give us to walk uprightly before Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Zacharias 3, 4, 5, and 7. John was the prophet of the Lord, to go before His face, the herald which our Savior God sent to prepare His ways. 3, 4, 5, and 7 of the Song of Zacharias.
Thank you.
it's our doubtful faith. Grace God from the all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.